Hey, welcome to the program, Doorway the Supernatural, where we're introducing the scriptures and that is going to open up your understanding. Paul said that I don't want you to be ignorant concerning the gifts of the Spirit. Anytime ignorance reigns in a believer's life, and that means that if you have areas that you don't understand, you need to give yourself to search them out in scriptures and to give time to meditate them, that they will profit you and so that the fullness of what God is saying to you can come to pass. And don't ever allow, well, I don't understand that, you know, go to the scriptures and find out what God is saying about it. He will open your understanding. And when you do, the Bible says that their eyes and their ears were shut, lest they understand and be converted. In other words, when you don't understand, you're going to stay separated in some way from God. The Bible says that the ignorance of the Gentiles separates them from the life of God. Now, you're not supposed to be ignorant. Don't let ignorance rule your life because of the laziness that's in you. And sorry about that. It's just, it's the truth. If you're lazy, you aren't going to get anything.
Yeah.
And but we're going to be talking about, continue talking about hunger and thirsting and getting into coveting the gifts. But before we do, here are a couple miracles to show you what you're going to be doing in the future.
Stretch forth your hands. Pray with me. In the name of Jesus, you deaf devil right now, you spirit of infirmity, I command you to come out right now. Be opened in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now I command you right now, you deaf devil, I command you to come out right now. In Jesus' name, be opened. Now, God, I loosen Jesus. 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 You hear that? Jesus. No, no.
Did you hear that?
Listen to me. This girl had been deaf and dumb. Deaf and dumb. Here, move out of the way, man. This woman, this young girl's been born deaf and dumb. Now listen. Jesus. Jesus. Come on. She's been born deaf and dumb. But God has opened her tongue. God, come on. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know that a man could not do that. Only Jesus could do that.
¿Cuál es tu nombre?
Let's start out simple. Jesus. Come. Gloria a Dios. She never heard, so you got to help her. Here, mom. Say, mom. Okay, that's the easy one. Say, mom. Say, Jesus. Now that's easy to say. Now, Jesus. Say, watch my lips. Jesus. Come on. This young girl had never heard or spoken. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah, Honduras. Jesus is here to do miracles.
Hold these legs out here.
What's that?
Hold that.
You mean to pull?
Now don't pull on them. Okay? Y'all are going to brand you as a charlatan. Run you out. Now your kneecaps.
My knee hurts right there.
Right here. But, now your kneecap is off. Like that. Two. Okay. All right, are you ready? Wow. Did you push that leg back in? It wasn't that short before. Don't be pushing, don't be pulling, man. Mess with my faith, I tell you. In the name of Jesus, God, I loose a creative miracle right now, God, in this hip area, into this knee. God, right now, I loose the working of miracles. Devil, I command you to loose her and let her go. In the name. Did you push that one back? Did you pull this one out? What do we have here?
It's a lot closer.
Huh?
It's a lot closer.
Look at these heels. What happened to that? 2 or 3 inches.
It moved to a good inch and a half.
What? Here. Don't look at these heels. Sure. She's been in these. See those heels?
Sure.
Well, we can't make it grow out any further. The other one's going to be longer than the one that we looks, that was.
Looks pretty even.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. There you go. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Only God can do a birth defect. Only God can do that.
Praise God. You know, only God can do that. And that is absolutely right. And that's what you're going to be doing in the future. You're going to be doing it for people that you run into in the grocery store. You're going to be doing it for people that are in your neighborhood, in your family.
Amen.
And because you're going to demonstrate, and you're going to be one of those that turn the world upside down.
Amen.
So we are talking today about coveting the gifts and really how to get a desire and not only just start out, I want to see that, but have a God-infused desire that is undeniable.
Undeniable, yeah.
And that's what we want. Before we go any further, here is a question. I have a friend who preaches in an apostolic church. How can you take away from the Trinity? He preaches the Trinity is man-made. Jesus only is what he preaches. Not sure how to talk to him about it. Apostolic is Jesus only. They do away with the Trinity. They do not believe in the Trinity. The problem is that unless Jesus was a ventriloquist,
yeah,
or talked to himself, at the River Jordan,
absolutely,
there was a threefold manifestation of God. One was the Father that spoke from heaven.
Yeah.
One was the Son that was receiving. And the third was the Holy Ghost that ascended visibly. So the Trinity was established in man's ears and in his eyes, in his senses, as well as his touch. Now, the Bible says this, even in the beginning of creation, which God did not create the world with angels.
No.
He created the worlds by his word, by faith, and by the Holy Ghost. You can read that in Genesis 1:3. And then you go over to Genesis 1:25 through 26, 27. He says, let us make man.
Yeah.
In other words, God says, let us. I can't do without you.
Yeah.
You can't do without me. Let us join together. Word, join yourself with me, the Father. Faith, Holy Ghost, do that which is decreed.
Yeah,
and it's us.
Yeah.
And then the Bible says, Israel, know that the Lord thy God, he is one.
Yeah.
Now, what did Israel look for? Israel looked for a Messiah, one born of a virgin, Emmanuel, God with us. But they also prayed the prayer, which was an Old Testament prayer, not a New Testament prayer, our Father which art in heaven. People think that's a New Testament prayer.
Yeah.
It is not a New Testament prayer. God has always been the Father of Israel.
Yeah.
And but people say, well, Jesus introduced that prayer. He introduced it under the Old Covenant.
Yeah.
And they had no question, why are you teaching us heresy? They were being taught Old Testament. And I think it's in the Garden of the Tomb where I went, and I turned and I seen this Lord's Prayer,
yeah,
on the tomb wall, on a wall that was protecting the tomb. And the guy said, yeah, he said, I know. He said, you think that's New Testament. That is a Jewish prayer. It,
yeah,
is not a Gentile prayer.
Yeah.
And so they understood that there was a Father.
Yeah.
Why would they have denied, or why would Jesus have said, I do nothing except,
yeah,
the Father says it to me, or that I see him do it?
Yeah.
How does he commend himself into his Father's hands?
Yeah.
How does it say that God hath raised Christ through faith? How in the world does the Holy Ghost, Jesus is in heaven, and the Holy Ghost is here representing,
yeah,
him?
Yeah.
So Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. In my Father's house there are many mansions.
Yeah.
He makes a distinction between the two. It is only error that causes this. And so what should you do? You know, it's kind of like arguing with somebody that doesn't believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You can argue till you're blue in the face, walk away, and pray in tongues because you're so discouraged you need build up.
Yeah.
And it's not going to change them. See, one thing we think sometimes it's our job to transform or to change people. No, it's our job to pray for them until Christ be formed in them.
Yeah.
Galatians 4:19, I think. 19, yeah. 4:9.
4:9.
And Paul said, I pray again until Christ be formed in you. But it's the scripture that transforms. It's the scripture that verifies. Well, why does he believe this? That's what he hears. So in order to lose his identity, he would have to come out and stop preaching that doctrine. And he doesn't want to lose his identity.
Yeah.
And he probably would not care if he saw it or not.
No,
he just would not abort his opportunities and what he's doing,
yeah,
even though he's preaching error.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can discuss it with him, search the scriptures, and things of that nature. You know, I had a brother-in-law that was Jesus only.
Yeah.
And, you know, do I believe they're saved? I believe that they're saved. I would not go any further. Now, in the early century churches,
yeah,
this type of doctrine was called heresy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
In fact, this was the first big argument and big division in separate of yeah. group of a group was in the early century of the church.
Yeah.
Where they
Absolutely.
Called it heresy.
Yeah.
Because how could the Bible say God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son?
Yeah.
How could God declare he did something if it was not his son?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then the scripture is filled with falsehoods.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are not gods, but we are the sons of God.
Yeah.
And we are born of Jesus' seed.
Absolutely.
Right? So God is our Father because we are born of the firstborn of many brethren, which is Jesus. And so you can't do away with that, but that doesn't make us God.
No.
And doesn't make us God's equal. But, so we have to be careful. These doctrines like this, again, I think that the church has kind of settled in and accepted them because of their confession of Jesus Christ
yeah.
as their personal Savior. You know, they baptize in the name of Jesus, but their doctrine also says that you can't go to heaven unless you're filled
yeah.
with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues.
Yeah.
But many of the people that they baptize in the name of Jesus never get filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So now you have a segment of their church that is in limbo that can't go to church, but they can't go to hell either
yeah.
because they're born again.
Yeah.
And so what are you going to do? Doctrines lead to more error.
Yeah.
And I have friends that are apostolic, that are Jesus only. They know who I am, so they aren't
yeah.
going to talk about it.
Yeah.
But they fellowship. They come to our churches. I've seen one of them in the last miracle service we had. And so, you know, I guess that we could call them heretics, but until they kind of push more
yeah.
Doctrinal error, I would not take that stand.
Yeah. They're listed as a cult in the list of cults.
Yes, in the list of cults, they
yeah,
are.
They are listed in that. But I have family members that genuinely love Jesus. That
yes, absolutely.
That are part of it, too. They're just an error. And
and look, I just have to tell you, I don't want to bust your bubble. I don't know everything either.
Yeah,
and
I look, all of us. Yeah.
I remember when I first started preaching on the Holy Ghost, I said, you know, I'm telling you, we need the Holy Ghost. I know we need the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't ask me how you get it, but we need it. Because the guy that I work with is a Baptist, said he got it when he got saved. But our pastor that preaches here says that we have to come and get hands laid on us to get it. I don't know how we get it, but I know we need it. So, well, I have migrated out of that. Now I have confirmed
yeah.
the biblical way that scriptures lay out that we should on an everyday, anytime basis, pray for people to receive the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, but you said something in that, that you weren't content with what you had.
No, absolutely
you
not.
You wanted more.
Yeah.
There was a hunger and there was a thirst for more of God.
Yeah, we cannot. Look, everybody's not going to agree with something. I'm trying to get my wife to agree with me on stuff.
Yeah, and, good luck.
But you have to draw your lines. Now, if one promotes ungodliness, you want to get separated.
Yeah.
This young man right here and other friends that are in that church do not see that truth. And it may be hid because all they do is hear things that are contradicting of it.
Yeah. That's all they're here. They're in a day.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that we have to be careful before we put somebody away, that we mark a brother. We still count him as a brother, but we have no fellowship with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe that would fall into that, but look, they are brothers. They live for God. They confess Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And so I wouldn't... you've already evidently expressed your faith to him, and he said, just doesn't accept it.
Yeah.
So I would tell him to go to the scriptures and really study it without the mindset of his church.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I have done over the years is if I have a question, I go to my peers. I go to men that I trust.
Yeah.
I ask people. And then I also used to go to my pastor.
Yeah.
And but also, the good thing about my pastor Samuel Thomas, used to say, you know, you have to look at the scriptures. And then I would go to the scriptures and I would establish a belief, a faith that I was willing to stand by and be rejected by. And then when I established it, I would go to him, I would have it proved.
Yeah.
And he'd say, you know, that's good. Right here is your error.
Yeah.
And then he would show me.
Yeah.
And then I would say, okay, then I need to reformulate it. You go through it again. But I am certainly deeply rooted on my doctrinal beliefs.
Yeah.
And it didn't come from somebody else. No. They came from me spending time with God.
And each and every one of us have to like Paul said, my gospel. He referred to the gospel as being his. We have to own what we believe. It can't be what we heard, what someone taught us, but what we've searched in the scriptures and what we've seen and God has revealed.
You're right.
Yeah, and we have to know it.
And there's always going to be, Jesus talked about 20, 30, 40, 60-fold Christians because of the life they come out of, the soils they've been involved in, the things that are functioning in their life now, the crisis, the cares that they have. And so, you know, everybody's not always going to be at the same keel. Look, we need to walk together in unity.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for something to argue with people about. You know, man, if I want that, I'd go home.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my wife and I can argue about when it's time to take the trash out, when it's time to eat, when it's time to bathe, when it's time to fix supper, when it's time for me to do the dishes. You know, listen, there's plenty for me to find to argue about. Sometimes I ask her, do you want to fight and just get it over so we can make up or what? And so we have to make sure that we aren't trying to get people to live at our level of discovery and our level of faith. The Bible says, look, if you have faith, have it to yourself.
Yeah.
And then the Bible says that we receive people of that will question our faith or challenge our faith, but not to the place of disputation.
Yeah.
If it's going to get argumentative, separate yourself from it.
From it.
It's not worth it. You can't live by, well, you know, I'm walking in Jesus, I believe in unity, and then you're destroying people with your faith. You can't do that.
There's too many Christians, they seem to be known for what they're against and not what they're for.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to be known for what I'm against.
Absolutely
I'm for
not.
Jesus. I'm for his kingdom. I want to be known for the advancement of the cause of Christ and not what I'm against in the world.
Right.
You know, or other believers.
Sometimes churches create this dead zone.
Yeah.
It is, you know, we say sinners welcome, members expected. But the bottom line, sinners may be afraid to come into our churches.
Yeah.
Because we just preach like we hate them.
Yeah.
And, you know, where can people that are broken, homosexuals, lesbians, people in fornication, lying, deceiving, you know, stealing and doing everything that the flesh does because they're sinners.
Yeah.
Where are they supposed to go to find Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, it'd be pretty hard to go to a church today and say, hey, I'm a homosexual, I'd like to get saved. Yeah. You know.
That's true.
No, our altars have to be open to all. And, you know, our balances and our definition and boundaries for people that are Christians don't start until they accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. We can't make a Christian, a sinner, a saint, yeah, and then make him a Christian.
Yeah.
He's got to first be a sinner, become a Christian, then he becomes a saint.
Yeah, that's good.
And sometimes we're looking to catch clean fish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I fished for a lot of years. I've just never found any
caught
one. Scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hallelujah.
Yeah.
And if I did, I'd throw him back. I'd say, there's something weird about that, sir.
You know, I think we confuse a lot of times. We confuse salvation issues with sanctification issues, right?
Right,
We put sanctification requirements or the pursuit of it or its evidence in someone's life right on to salvation.
Yeah.
And or before salvation.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work that way. We're being saved. We're saved. We're being saved. We will,
yes,
be saved.
And we're working out our own salvation.
We're working it out. Absolutely.
So that is an ongoing progressive work.
Yeah.
We look into the mirror and see who we are. But I do think that you're right. Sometimes we want people, well, you know, we tell Christians, we tell sinners, you know, that smoking will send you to hell. No, it won't. Well, that drinking will send you to hell because you get drunk. No, it won't. Well, you know, you're living with that woman. That'll send you to hell. No, it won't. What will send you to hell is you not having Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Yeah.
The reason you're doing all that other stuff is because there's another Lord of your life instead of Him.
Yeah.
So we don't want to try to, you know,
that's a good
get
point.
That. Now, we're going to, here's a question about kind of what that last session we were in on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It says, when you're hungering and thirsting for more, what are the things that you should do and what are the things that you should avoid?
Good question.
These are personal convictions.
Yeah.
You certainly, one of the things that I would do, if I'm after one thing, then I'm going to pursue that one thing. When I was seeking God and praying, and I don't even want to say the times I prayed because people would think, oh, well, he did that and I could do that. No, this is going to be your personal pursuit, and you're going to go up and be carried by the hand of God as you are seeking the Lord. That's what's going to happen. And God has a place for you, and he has a cleft in the rock. And he has a place he's going to unveil himself to you. You
That's
can't
good.
See God from my cleft. You have to see it, him from your cleft. Now, in this, one of the things that I did, not that you have to, but one of the things, I'm just going to tell you one of them. I started excluding a lot of television from my life.
That's a
and
good one.
What I did was I started incorporating miracle tapes. There are miracle tapes. You can find them now on YouTube. But back then when I was doing, you had to buy them. And I'm telling you what, they were, it was like highway robbery to the guys that had them. It's fine. You know, they were valuable to me and I didn't care how much they cost. I wanted them.
It's going
to
cost you something, right? In pursuit
That's
of something
right.
will cost. Yeah.
And because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But it also comes by seeing. They said in John the 6th chapter that when they saw the miracles, they believed
they
on
believe.
Him.
Yes.
And so when we see things, faith comes. Jesus said, God has closed their eyes and their ears. At least they see or hear and be converted.
Absolutely.
So we have to understand that faith comes two predominant ways. It comes by hearing with the ear that is connected to your heart, and it comes by seeing.
Yeah.
That's how John the Baptist's faith was verified, enlarged, and deepened. Do we look for another, or are you really the Messiah? Jesus said, stay with me today, in one day, and then tell John what you see.
Yeah.
The dead raised, the blind see, the lepers are cleansed. All these things happened. And these are the three miracles that Isaiah prophesied that in that day the blind shall see, the lame shall walk, the deaf shall hear, and the dumb shall speak.
Yeah.
And so those things were happening, and they go back and they tell John, and guess what? He's ready to be beheaded.
Yeah.
So one of the things I did was to replace my television with miracle tapes.
That's good.
And what I would do is I would watch them. I watched some of them so many times, I can tell you what A.A. Allen is going to say. I can tell you the address that William Branham is going to use.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, but that's what I did. And when I would watch those tapes, I'd say, God, let that anointing that is upon these men, let it come upon me.
Yeah.
That God, I will glorify Christ, that I will reveal him in me, that he is alive and living today.
Amen.
And you can watch Brother Shambach. You can watch Allen. You can watch Coe. You can watch Branham. And you can watch Oral Roberts. You can...
T.L. Osborne.
Got T.L. Osborne.
Yeah.
And they're all over the YouTube. Go on there and type them on. You know, when I was traveling yesterday, I'm sitting there watching YouTube tapes. And, you know, watching Jack Coe. And... So watch those things because your faith will start growing. Mm. And that thing will get on you. I'm just telling you, whatever you're around, you are going to be transformed into.
Yeah.
And so what Paul say? He said, be you followers of me as I am a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
He told the church, duplicate me and you will be like him.
Absolutely.
And so how do we do that? Well, you look. Paul said, you know what manner of man I was. You knew my morals, my values, the truths, the doctrines I held to, because you saw me living them. So then he infuses to them a command by saying that, by saying this, you saw it in me, now it should be in you.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And so this is a part of the process. But hearing, hearing is wonderful, and we're going to show you through the scriptures how you do that. But seeing is so important.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't know why we get away with that, but get away from it. But when we are in other countries, just like Paul was in 1 Corinthians 2, 4, where he said, look, I did not come to you in man's wisdom. Well, in 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power
of God.
So, faith comes to people that are watching by demonstration.
Yeah.
It is one of the ways that it happens. Well, I just can't, no. This is the way that God said.
Yeah.
Now, not that God is contradicting from sounding, but when you are in another country and you're preaching, you're not preaching to believers.
No.
You're preaching to sinners. So how does God give this infusion of faith for people to believe in an invisible God and a dead Christ that has been raised? The only way to do it is this right here.
Visible demonstration.
That's right. You could preach their ears off and your tongue out and not do what the demonstration of the Holy Ghost did.
Imagine, Pastor, if all Jesus did was teach and preach and never heal the sick and never raise the dead. I don't think he would have the impact. The disciples, they believed when they seen, right? Not just from hearing. And so they had to.
He would be a philosopher.
Yeah. Another rabbi in Israel.
Another.
Yeah.
And so then it'd be just argumentative. Yeah. Christianity is not argumentative.
No.
Is it? It is evidential.
Yeah, evidential.
Now you keep that in
evidential.
Your mind.
Yeah.
It is not argumentative. It is not just a belief system. It is an evidential producing faith.
Yeah.
You'll know them by their fruits. And if you don't have fruits, have the evidence being produced by your life. And in your life, then I don't know. You'll know them by their faith, by their fruits. I would say if you don't have the fruits that reflect the Word of God having some type of power, transformation over your life, then you need to get saved.
Yeah, Absolutely.
You cannot be saved without fruit.
No.
You can't. I don't care if you never read the Bible.
Yeah.
When I got saved, you know what? I knew fornication was wrong. I ain't doing that no more.
Yeah.
I knew cussing was wrong. I ain't doing that no more. Yeah. I knew stealing was wrong. I ain't doing that no more. I knew lying was wrong. I ain't doing that no more. And I hadn't even read the Bible. But I knew that stuff was wrong.
For some people, they say they're saved, and you got to ask, well, what are you saved from?
Yeah.
You don't see anything they've been saved from.
I ran into a guy one time and said, oh, man, I see you got saved. He said, I'm a Christian, too. I said, buddy, I said, you're so deep undercover, nobody would have known it.
No one would have known.
You know, we aren't supposed to be Christian like that. We are the light of the world.
Yeah.
We aren't ashamed of our life.
And along with those lines, I think there's many Christians I encounter, they believe that it's if you believe the right set of doctrines, then you're saved. And doctrine, we need doctrine. And it's grounding, and it's how we mature and grow in holiness. But it is not doctrine itself that saves us.
Right.
Right? It's a faith in a God that is experiential.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's even after doctrine is established,
yeah,
we still are kept by faith.
Kept by faith.
In other words, we have to continue to believe what we've said and exercise faith in it.
Live it out.
First Peter says we are kept by the power of God through faith.
Yes, absolutely.
Through faith.
Yeah.
So doctrines give us guidelines, but it's only faith that keeps us within them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, so we're going to talk a little more about coveting, hunger and thirsting. I tell you, time gets away, and I guess we're just setting up here babbling. But we looked at 1 Corinthians 12:31, 1 Corinthians 14:1. One uses the word "don't" that we are to covet earnestly, passionately, without an attitude of "I can't live without it."
Yeah.
I've got to have it.
Yeah,
and then it talked about desire. These are passionate things that we have to be infused in, but we also talked about allowing God to put this hunger and thirst in us.
In us, yeah.
And if we don't, we can get weary. We can lose our focus. We can lose our intensity. We can lose our pursuit. But when God is renewing us day by day, God, touch me today. Put your hand upon me. God, don't let me get complacent.
Yeah.
Don't let me get satisfied. So we talked about Matthew 5:6 about asking God, praying, God, put this in me.
Yeah.
And so we need to have that hunger and thirsting, certainly. And then another way that we're going to talk about loosening these gifts. Now realize that when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you receive an evidential manifestation of one gift. It is not the only gift. And it's not just to be a gift that you use to edify yourself and build yourself up. That is one use of it.
Yeah.
But that tongue also can be used to bless food when you're by yourself and not in the company of others.
Yeah.
You can use it to speak unto God and to yourself, Paul said.
Yeah.
So the tongue is evidential evidence that you have been filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Now, you don't get part of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't stick his arm in the room and say, hey, I'm here, guys.
Yeah.
No, he comes in.
Yeah.
And he dwells in them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Not
same,
with a foot,
the same
not
Holy
with an
Spirit.
Arm.
Yeah, the same Holy Spirit Jesus had, we have. The same Holy Spirit the apostles had, we have.
Yes, absolutely.
In the fullness.
I've heard people say, well, you got saved, but you just got a part of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Well, what if you got the hip or the bun? Come on, an armpit.
Yeah.
Who wants to be an armpit? I guess it's better. I guess it would be. As long as I'm in Jesus, I'm happy. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't choose an armpit.
We want all of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I want all of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And so when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, it is a sign, a sign to unbelievers. So what does that sign do? It must produce faith.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it couldn't be a sign to unbelievers.
That's true.
Is that right?
That's what he said.
If it doesn't produce faith, it couldn't be a sign that they could believe.
Yeah.
So when we must receive it the same way. If you doubt or wonder about the Holy Ghost being in you, that tongue, that supernaturally inspired language that you receive as an evident token that you have been filled with the Holy Ghost is a sign to remind you that there are eight other gifts on the inside of you.
Yeah.
Eight other gifts. Too many of us don't go to the wilderness and don't do what Jesus did. We camp right there at Jordan.
Yeah. Right.
So we really become Jordanists. instead of Christian, we're Jordanists. Well, you know, praise God, I believe in speaking in tongues. Well, I do too. But that's just evidential.
Yeah.
So that you are persuaded that there are eight other gifts on the inside of you.
Absolutely, Rob. Yeah.
And so one of the ways that we release the gifts, and remember, now we talked about this last week on Tuesday, is that this is a process. It is a process. And so let the process work. You continue to seek, because the Bible said, you seek, you'll find.
Yeah.
And seek the Lord while he may be found. Yeah. As they sought the Lord, they prospered.
Yeah.
And so you want to seek the Lord. Now in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and verse 13, it says, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue. What's your Bible say there?
Pray that he may interpret.
Pray?
Yeah, pray.
Well, in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it says this in verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given unto every man to profit with all. And it said, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now what he's talking about is at different times.
Yeah.
Not just this is only one gift
exactly.
for you.
Different
he is there. The wholeness of the Holy Ghost is there. And then it makes this statement. To another, the working of miracles. To another, the gift of prophecy. To another, discerning of spirit. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Wow, so the gift of interpretation of tongues is a gift.
Yeah.
And then in this verse right here, it says, we can pray.
That we may interpret.
That gift would become active.
Yeah.
So, how do we start activating these gifts? We start praying for them. Well, more than once? Well, here it says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue may pray that he may interpret.
Yeah.
Well, how many times in a day could you pray in other tongues? Well, it said down here that in verse 14, for if a man pray in an unknown tongue, if I pray, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now we have that. We can pray in an unknown tongue. Our understanding is unfruitful. And then if we do, we can say, God, let me interpret.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that we have to understand is that when these tongues come or given to you, inspired, or an utterance granted to you, you have to discern if it needs to be interpreted or not.
Yeah.
Because you might be praying about somebody in India. You might be praying for your pastor, you might be praying for your wife or whatever. And if you got kids, you're probably praying. And then it says this. Watch this. And what is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will also sing with the understanding also. And then it says, else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing his understanding of what thou sayest?
Yeah.
So, if I could, Rob, and you could, which it says right here, I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with my understanding, that you could pray at will, allow the Holy Ghost to give you an understanding. When you did, you have every right to say, God, let me interpret what I am praying.
Yeah.
Now, well, what if God doesn't? Well, I would continue to pray. How many times should you pray? Well, evidently, you could pray every time you spoke in tongues.
Yeah. I know for me, when I was younger and praying for the interpretation, and I'd pray in tongues. I was like, Lord, your word says to pray for the interpretation. It kind of goes to that question last week on, what happens if you seek the gift and you don't get it?
Right.
And because I never interpreted, let's say, publicly in a church service, mm-hmm. and that was my understanding, that it was limited to just that.
Yeah.
That I never received the gift of interpretation. And the Lord showed me one day clearly as I was reading this and praying, well, how many times have you prayed in tongues and then afterwards you had a revelation?
Yeah.
of a passage of scripture, something that I'm saying to you or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is that not the interpretation of what
yes.
your spirit was praying?
Right.
And that just opened that whole text up to me that I'll pray in the spirit
right.
and I'll pray in the understanding.
Well, what did Romans 8th chapter said? When I don't know how to pray,
yeah.
I am helped by right. the Holy
spirit.
Ghost
yeah.
gives me an understanding that prays according to yeah. the will of God.
Yeah.
Well, isn't this the will of God?
Absolutely.
That we are to, the scriptures are given to us, that we are to prove and that we are to come out and
yeah.
show what the approved will of God is. That's
yeah.
just what was
That's
happening
what
to you.
Yeah.
Just exactly what was happening to you.
Yeah.
So one of the ways to have the gifts released is, God, I ask you that I would operate in the gift of interpretation of tongues. I ask God that I would operate today in the discerning of spirits.
Mm.
We're going to talk about all of these so you'll know how to do this in a more precise way.
Yeah.
God, I ask that, Father, I would operate today in the word of knowledge. I ask God that the working of miracles would be active in my life today. God, use me, God, in the gifts of healing today. God, let the gift of faith fall upon me and possess me today.
Yeah.
That God, I will not just stand in man-made places, but I will walk in the places that you would walk. God, I ask that you would allow the gift of prophecy to flow through me today, that I may comfort, edify, and exhort other people. God, let the gift of tongues operate through me. That God, I will speak in multiple things and about multiple things and in multiple ways concerning the things of God. And God, I ask that I would interpret. I would interpret Amen. What tongues are being said. Now, God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Now, I would pray that. When I was seeking God, I would pray it 3 or 4 times a day.
Yeah.
Oh, well, more than once is unbelief. Humble. Who told you that?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. Paul said, upon every remembrance, this is what I pray for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus told us to ask, seek, and knock.
Yeah. Yeah. And guess what?
That's more than
Jesus
one.
Said, hey, this is how you pray. Our Father. So guess yeah. what he hears in the morning? Hey, our Father, which art in heaven. What's he heard the third morning from that? Our Father, which art in heaven. I'll bet he said, oh my gosh, they're all in unbelief. They prayed twice. Look, we need to be smarter than the people that are trying to dangle us in the life of faith.
Yeah.
Look, yes, there are things when you're praying for yourself that, you know what, when you pray, bless God, that prayer, you consider it answered,
yeah.
just like Daniel did in the 10th chapter. But, you know what? Jesus said, Peter, I prayed for thee that thy faith will not fail. Now, when you're converted,
yeah.
you share your faith with other people. Now, Paul said, I pray again for you
yeah.
until Christ be formed in
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And Paul was notorious for saying, this is what I pray.
Yeah.
How many times have you or even people that teach you that any more than one time is unbelief prayed Ephesians 4:17.
Yeah.
God grant unto them, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge, that God, the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, and they will know the hope of their calling, and the power that is exercised or granted unto them that you demonstrated in Christ when you raised him from the dead, and the riches of his glory.
Yeah.
Look, we all pray. We pray it more than once. When we all come together, when, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. You see it on TV.
Yeah.
If a president's going to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. They, look, is that unbelief? Well, Jesus said, this is how you pray. Give me my daily bread.
Yeah.
Every day he's praying the same prayer. It's not a prayer of unbelief.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes we just get...
We do.
Well it's unbelief. No, it's not unbelief.
Yeah.
Right here it said, when you pray in an unknown tongue, pray that you interpret.
Yeah.
Now, if the Holy Ghost inspires you 3 or 4 times a day, just by himself, and you're praying at will, you could pray three or four or five times.
Absolutely.
And what would you pray? Well, I would pray that, God, that I might interpret. I wouldn't go real deep. I would just accept this like as a child.
Yeah.
Woo! I think, God, give me the gift of interpretation, that I will know what you have said, God. Hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Simple as that.
It's as simple as that. And what happens, though, Rob, I think that people, you know, they see this and stuff like that, and they just don't apply their faith because they're afraid they're going to get in unbelief. But then when it says desire, what is the basis of any request? Is desire.
It's a desire.
It is a desire.
You want
so when it says follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but that you may prophesy, then what we have to do is, okay, now we know the Holy Ghost is going to divide several as he wills. But in churches, there are gifts that need to be established.
Absolutely.
And what you can do is, God, I pray that in our church, that God, this is activated. And that is the best gift in a congregate setting, the gift that is needed for the church. And so we can pray those things. And a lot of times today, people are afraid to even operate in the gift of prophecy or tongues or interpretation of tongues because, you know, they're going to get called down or they're going to say, oh, we don't do that today or those are passed away. Or they, but it's not when you got like three chapters of instruction and verification of what you're supposed to do with it. And, you know, maybe Paul just was didn't have anything to do, so he just wrote this stuff down. But then it would be Paul and not the Lord. And he said that in the seventh chapter, but he doesn't say it here.
Well, you know, in light of what you just said, Paul wrote this so that a church would be edified, built up, and established. And we got to ask ourselves, if none of this is happening in local churches, are they being built up in the faith? Are they being established? And, you know, I think if it's just one voice or just hearing the sermon every week and not the body being activated and prophesying and, you know, and speaking in tongues and giving interpretation, encouraging and exhortation, that there is a serious lack in the growth within the church, within the body of Christ.
And, you know, well, what if people make mistakes? Well, in the household of love, we cover a multitude of sins. You know, we these are brothers and sisters. And I don't know, I got 14 brothers and sisters, and I don't have a perfect family. The only perfect one is me, and I came out, but the rest of them, man, they're struggling.
Other than the Trinity, I haven't seen a perfect family in the Bible
that's
either.
That's right. There you go. And so, and then the Bible says, Robin and I encourage people to do this all the time and encourage pastors. Every believer should pray for their purpose to be manifested in God. And they ought to pray about it every day. Because every day that it's not being fulfilled, there is a part of the body that is not functioning. So, the Bible says in Romans 8th chapter, we talked about, I think it was on Tuesday, it says that when you don't know how to pray about something, that the Holy Ghost will give you utterances, groanings, that you are not aware of, that are beyond your intellect, and he will be praying the perfect will of God. So, if I went to the Holy Ghost, remember, Jesus said, now, I'm going to send you another comforter. When they wanted to learn how to pray, they said, hey, Jesus, teach us to pray. So what does he do? He gives them this utterance. And guess what? They start praying it. And then, so the Holy Ghost, Jesus says, I'm going to give you another comforter. So he is to take the place of Jesus. If I could talk to Jesus, I should be able to talk to the Holy Ghost. When I talk to the Holy Ghost, I can ask him questions. I can ask him his input, I can ask him his aid. So if I came to a place and I just say, Holy Ghost, look, I don't know how to pray about this any more than what I've already prayed. But I know that you give me wisdom and that you will teach me to articulate that which God has laid up for me, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 13, and you will give me a language that doesn't come from this earth. Teach me how to pray and give me the utterance of how to pray that the gifts of the Spirit will begin to manifest in my life.
Amen.
And guess what he's going to do?
He's going to do it.
He's going to do just like Jesus did. I want you to pray like this. He's going to give you an utterance. And so you pray. And you pray 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And however long it takes. And you pray about that. And you let the Holy Ghost petition God. And guess what? He's dealing with things on the inside of you. He's dealing things with your mental thought life. He's dealing with things, the Bible says, that are hid from us. But there's nothing hid from the eyes of him in whom we are in relationship or covenant with. Hebrews 4:13. So he sees where the adversary is. He sees what has happened to you in the past. He sees strongholds. He sees reservoirs of dryness where faith cannot express itself. He sees these things that have connected or disconnected you from the life of God, which is God's will for your life. He knows that. So don't stop praying in English, but what is it? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding. So start praying every day. Spend time praying in the Holy Ghost about the gifts. Amen. And as you do, that they're just going to start. Remember, they're all connected. You can't just do one. They're all connected. I don't think Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days laying under a shade tree. No. I think he was praying.
Seeking
God. I think he was seeking God. God, Father, let these things manifest, that your will be done, and that you will be glorified. God, let the kingdom of darkness be destroyed and broken. Let the oppressed be set free. You've anointed me with the Holy Ghost and the power. God, show me the steps to take that goodness will reign in Israel, your people.
Amen.
And so Jesus was praying. And so I think that we should pray in the natural about it, just as simple as the scripture says, Rob. It's just simple. And then we ought to pray in the Holy Ghost. Ask the Holy Ghost to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Yeah. He is the Spirit of grace. Let him provide for you what you can't do for yourself to bring about God's will for your life. Next week, we're going to get into the other three ways to release the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Okay, let us pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask God that the anointing.
Yes, Lord.
We ask God that just the zealousness, the presence of the Lord would fall upon these people.
Yes, Lord.
And that God, the gifts of the Spirit would begin to be activated. That God, they would be representatives of an army of a people.
Yes,
Lord. Miracle workers, God. That God not just work miracles, but live holy. And that God preach the truth.
Yes.
That they are people of unity, people of love, God. And that God care for the body of Christ. Let us all remember that the gifts are not for our identity or for our promotion, but for the glorification of the identity of Christ and his glory.
Amen.
God, we love you. Help us, God, to be who you ask us to be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise God. Rob, I want you to pray for the people before we go. I just want you to pray for them.
Father, I thank you right now, just as Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 12, that we can draw from the wells of salvation. I pray, Lord, that you would just begin to put a hunger and a thirst in the listeners and the viewers of this program, that they would not be satisfied with where they're at, but that they would hunger and thirst after you with a hunger that they've yet to experience, a thirst they have yet to ever have. But Lord, they would begin to draw from those wells of salvation, that the deep reservoirs of their faith would be burst open, Lord, into living waters, Lord Jesus. I pray right now that at the sound of my voice, that everyone who's listening, Lord, you would quicken them, Lord, to pray in the Spirit, Lord, to beseech you and to ask and to believe big things, Lord, greater things than they've ever believed for, to expect you to move on their life in ways that they've never seen or ever dreamed of. Lord, give them vision for ministry. Give them a life of the Spirit, Lord, that is only attainable by drawing near to you and close to you. Jesus, come near, Lord, and as they pursue you, Father, uphold them by your hand. Give them grace, Lord, and lead them, Lord Jesus, into the will that you have for their life. In Jesus' name, release the miraculous in their life.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Hey, God bless you. We'll see you Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock. We love you. Tell your friends. Tell others. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Amen.